last time we learned about Nehemiah, what is the meaning of his name? Every time we remember, what's the meaning of your name? The meaning is what? Nehemiah means what? Comforted by Jehovah, right? Comforted by Jehovah. Jehovah is the name of God, comforted by the Lord Himself. So here is Nehemiah, a book that you will learn a lot about leadership. It's very important. All of us strive to be good leaders for the Lord. Then you learn about service, serving the Lord together, how to serve. And then thirdly, in this book, you learn about how to overcome difficulties. There will be difficulties, there will be problems, there will be the enemies. How do you overcome that? So you're going to learn from this book. Now, you remember Nehemiah, huh? So just a quick summary of the revision, what we have gone through so far. And he was actually a prisoner, a Jew, right, taken into captivity. And remember, Israel was taken into captivity as prisoner and served in Babylon for how many years? 70 years. Huh? Babylon attacked Israel, and then in the year 606 BC, many years. And how 70 years they were under the rule, right, of Babylon, and they were taken into Babylon. And then after Babylon Empire came the next empire, the next superpower, the Persian Empire. And so during the time of Nehemiah, if you read his book, he was serving under the Persian king. Right? And just now you remember, what's the name of the king? You read his name, very hard to pronounce. Artaxerxes, that's his name. So he was serving under the king Artaxerxes in the palace. But remember, he was actually doing quite well. Respected, trustworthy, and he was called the king's cupbearer. So he was the one who would take the drink of the king first, before anything happens to the king. So he must be a person that the king trusted and the king depended on. So that was Nehemiah, and then when we came to chapter 1 the last time, you hear about him getting a message from his fellow brethren, what happened to his home country in Jerusalem, in Israel, and it was in ruin, and it was in a big disaster. The whole place was like a big mess, and in chaotic situation. And so he was so sad when he heard about the condition of his own city, his own country, his own fellow man that remains in Israel. And he was certainly a man of concern, because he asked for the report, he heard the report, and he wanted to know what happened. A man of concern. So we must be a man of concern. Are you concerned for those who are not here today? Are you concerned to pray for them, to encourage them, to ask them? Or are you those who are straight away say that, oh, these people, they are not good, they are not faithful, they are always absent for Ebenezer. So sometimes our attitude can be very negative towards them. But rather, we should be like Nehemiah, be a man of concern. And so he heard the news, he was concerned. And after that, the last time we learned about his prayer to the Lord, he was also a man of prayer. He started in verse 4, that's not what you do. What did Nehemiah do? He what? He sat down. What else? After he sat down, he what? He laughed. He wept. And then he what? He mourned. And after that, he fasted and he praised. And so that was Nehemiah. Before you want to do anything, you start with prayer. You start with prayer, you commit the matter to the Lord, and you seek the Lord. And so that was Nehemiah, and the last time we learned about his prayer, if you still remember, that his prayer consists of what? Three parts. Number one is what? Worship. And number two is confession of sin. And then thirdly, there is a request, a petition to God. So don't rush into prayer and say, God, give it to me, give me, give me. Help me to pass the exam. You know, sometimes you just rush into prayer. No, God is like a Santa Claus, everything, give you, give you, give you. I seek the Lord, understand who He is, how to pray to Him appropriately, correctly, and that's how Nehemiah taught us in his prayer. Right, so now we come to chapter 2 of Nehemiah. It's an important chapter, and we're going to start off with the petition to the king. Now before we start, let's pray, ask the Lord to help us first. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can learn your word together. We thank you, Lord, that we can study this book of Nehemiah that you have given to us, put into your own holy Bible, that, Lord, it can be for our learning, for our example, And we pray, Lord, that Thou will give us heart to desire, Lord, to earnestly desire to learn, to obey, and to seek You. Bless our time. May Your Holy Spirit be our guide, our teacher. May, Lord, our faith in You be strengthened, and our walk to You be sweeter, even as the day go by. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Alright, let me start and ask you, Nehemiah chapter 2. Can you read the first line with me, yeah? Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 1. Okay, read the first line with me, yeah? Ready, go. And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes. Okay, stop here, yeah? Now, I ask you, how long did Nehemiah pray? Now, you compare in the first chapter, verse 1. What was the month in verse 1 when he heard the news? No. Chapter 1, verse 1. Yeah, that is when he... Chapter 2, verse 1 is when he talked to the king already, right? When the king was with him. In chapter 1, verse 1, it was the month what? Kislev, right? Remember the Bible, remember what it says? CH, you pronounce as what? Wow. You don't pronounce as CH, in Hebrew. CH, you pronounce as K. So it's K, K-I-S-L-E-U. Kislev, right? Kislev. The month Kislev is actually which month? Right? The month is, the what? Kislev. Which month? The month Kislev, actually, if you look carefully in the Hebrew calendar, that is the ninth month, the ninth month. And then the month Nisan in chapter 2, verse 1, that is the first month. So how many months have passed since Nehemiah heard the news in chapter 1, verse 1, and now we come to chapter 2, verse 1? How many months have passed? From the ninth month to the first month of the year, that will be 4 months. Right, 4 months have passed already. Right, so 4 months have gone by since Nehemiah heard the news, since he wept, he prayed, he mourned, he fasted, and that is a period of 4 months. Now tell me, in these 4 months, what was Nehemiah doing? Had he forgotten everything? A lot of us will have forgotten what you heard, all the news that you have heard, and a lot of us will probably, beginning of the time, say, oh yes, I must help my poor brethren in Jerusalem, I must help, must do something. But after 1 month, after 2 months, after 3 months, we forgot. After first time, we pray very hard. After second month, we never, and we stop praying. See? Many of us will just have given up, but not Nehemiah. Because you know that this burden is in his heart. Because when you go to chapter 2, it still remains in his heart. And I'm very sure that for 4 months, he must be praying and seeking the Lord, asking the Lord, fasting many times, and then waiting upon God for the right time. For the right time to ask the request into the king. Because if you look at chapter 1, verse 11, that was his prayer item. Remember, every time you look at the church weekly, there are many prayer items. So this must be a prayer item that he has. What he asks in chapter 1, verse 11. I pray, right, look at chapter 1, verse 11, the last part of it. I pray this day, thy servant, right, and grant him what? Mercy in the sight of this man. Who is this man? The king. So he was praying. He was probably asking all his fellow brethren, pray for me. Maybe there's a prayer meeting, you ask, pray for me, recorded in the prayer items, that I will what? I will be given what? Mercy in the sight of the king. Because that is going to be his request, going to the king and asking permission from the king to go back to his homeland in Israel, Jerusalem, to rebuild the wall. So he prayed for 4 months. 4 months. 4 months praying, fasting, asking the Lord for the right time. It's a long time. Can you learn to wait upon the Lord for the Lord's timing in our lives? The Lord's timing is always the best. Some people rush to get into a relationship and find a life partner. In the end, what happened? Right, they get their heart broken, their head broken, because they rush into it. Many times, you rush find a school, a course, and you never seek the Lord, is this the Lord's will? You wait upon the Lord. Many times you want to find a job, you just rush in. Oh, this job can give me a lot of money. But we must learn to wait upon the Lord. Like Nehemiah, wait upon the Lord. God's timing is the best. And so when we come to chapter 2, we find that God has His timing. Now God does not reveal when it will be. He did not tell Nehemiah it will be 4 months. To Nehemiah, he just learned to wait. 1 month passed, nothing happened, he wait. Second month passed, nothing happened, he continued to wait. Pray, wait. Third month passed, nothing happened, he continued to wait. Pray. Fourth month passed, nothing happened, he continued to wait and pray. But now when he comes to chapter 2, something happened. God make it happen. What happened? Chapter 2, verse 1. Let's read verse 1. Huh? Sorry, let's read verse 2. Huh? Verse 2, there, something happened. What happened? Chapter 2, verse 2. Together? Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid. You see, in God's providential timing, and in God's time, in 4 months' time, when Nehemiah was, as usual, performing his duty as a king's cupbearer, drinking the wine of the king, and then this time, God touched the heart of the king and noticed, hey, something wrong with Nehemiah's face. What was his look? Happy face or sad face? David. Sad face. Suddenly, he looked very sad. He was very down, discouraged. And sometimes you can see that in people's face. Now you look at my face. Am I sad or happy? Huh? Sad. Huh? Am I sad? Jesha say I'm sad. How about you? Think I'm sad or happy? Happy. Say I'm happy. Come on. Alright, sometimes we can tell. See? I don't think you can tell from my face today. But sometimes you can tell a person is sad or happy from the face. Someone sit alone, quietly, sometimes you see some tears, water coming down, right? Hopefully it's not crocodile tears, right? You know, that person is very sad. So this time, Nehemiah, he could not control himself. Probably after months, 4 months of prayer, hearing the condition, the burden get heavier and heavier and heavier in his heart. He did not run away, he did not go away, he did not forget the sad condition of his own brethren, and now his face showed. But this is very dangerous. You see, Nehemiah was afraid. Even when the king saw his face, said, why was he afraid? You know why was he afraid? The Bible said he was afraid, right? And you see in verse 2, the last part, then I was very sore afraid. Not only afraid, very frightened, very sore afraid, really afraid. Because this is the reign of a king in those days. The king has all authority. The law lies in the king. If he looks at your face and you don't appear happy to him and he doesn't like it, you can say, well, chop off your head. There you go. I don't need you. I can find another cupbearer. But the king has many people who can work under him. And so this is a very difficult time when Nehemiah was so sad in his heart, he could not control himself. And then when the king asked him, why are you sad? You're not sick. There's no reason for you to be sad. You're not serving me. You better be happy. Wow. Nehemiah was afraid he may lose his life. But this is God's timing. Beloved, our disappointment sometimes is God's appointment. I say again, our disappointment can be God's appointment. And God's timing is always the best. When you think that you are most frightened, when you think that that's it, oh, I may get myself into trouble, and Nehemiah may be thinking now, the king saw me in sad condition, the king knew it, I cannot hide from him, I'm in trouble. But that was a time that God answered his prayer. That was his prayer being heard by God. He was praying for 4 months. Give me what? Mercy in the sight of the king, right? He was praying and praying and praying. Do you remember all your prayer items? A lot of you ask for a lot of prayer items. Huh? Oh, you went prayer meeting, what you ask? People to pray for you. You forgot. At the Ebenezer meeting, you asked people to pray for you, right? Do you remember? You will write down. After that, what happened? Do you remember your prayer items? Many times you ask for prayer items and people pray for you, and after God answer you, you forgot your prayer item. You forgot to give thanks because you forgot what you prayed for. You forgot what you asked to God. I do not think Nehemiah forget. He remember he was asking for mercy in the sight of the king, and here in God's timing, God answered him. So dearly beloved, wait upon God's timing. Even in the most difficult, in the most hard circumstances, right? You think that, oh, see, that's it, I'm in trouble. But this is the time God will answer your prayers. And God can hear your prayers. And God will help you. And for Nehemiah, that was the moment that the Lord answered him. And so Nehemiah took courage and he then told the king what he wanted. I want to say this word called providence, before I move on. Providence. This may be a big term, providence, God's providence. Now, in our Christian life, we are all under God's providence. God is sovereign, and He knows us from the beginning to the end. He knows everything about you already, Joshua. What will happen to your O level result? Exactly which grade, what subject? Do you know? No one knows, but God already knows. God already knows who will be your wife, or no wife, maybe. Right? God already knows everything. God's providence will ensure that your life will fall in place as how God has determined. And God's providence will mean that God has His timing for everything in your life. And this is very comforting for us as a child of God, that God will take care of us, and God will watch over us, and God will provide for us, and God will lead us through in every aspect of our life. And so for Nehemiah, it's the same. This is the right month. Why the month Nisan? I don't know. God knows. This is the right month. And this is the right moment. The king will ask him the right question, and this is the time that he will make the request to the king. But before Nehemiah make the request to the king, look at verse 4. Right? Then the king said unto me, right, Nehemiah, what dost thou make your request? What request will you make? And so what happened? So I prayed to the God of heaven. Now this is a very critical time. Remember Nehemiah was what? This is the king who has all power, all authority. The law is in his hand, and Nehemiah is just a servant serving as the king comes bearer. And then his face was very sad. The king asked him, why are you sad? Something is wrong with you. You better tell me. He was so afraid. And then the king asked him, what is your request? What are you going to ask me? What do you do at this moment? What do you do? Learn from Nehemiah. You what? King! Wait, let me go on my knees. He said, and pray for 1 hour. Then you talk to the king. Did he do that? I do not think Nehemiah did that. I think when Nehemiah said, so I pray to the God of heaven. This must be what? One of the shortest prayers that Nehemiah must have prayed quietly, silently in his heart before. After that, he will speak to the king and talk to the king and make the request to the king. Because if he say anything wrong, the king not happy with the request, there goes his what? His head. And all the burden, all the hope that go back to Israel, to Jerusalem, will be gone. You understand? And so when the most critical time in your life, when you must know what to say, what to do, and you don't have time anymore, give a short prayer to the Lord. Lord, help me. I'm sure Nehemiah's prayer must be what? Lord, give me the word. Maybe that's all. 3 words, maybe that's all he said. I pray to the God of heaven. Now remember, it is not, it's too hot over there, it's burning hot. The sun is coming in, so if you all start to shift, one day our meeting will be inside. But that is the kind of man of prayer. I want you to learn from Nehemiah, be a man of prayer. A man of prayer doesn't mean you have to pray long prayer, go on your knees, and then you pray, and then you cry and wept. But there are certain times that you have no time to pray and wept. You just pray to the Lord, Lord help me. Before you take an exam, what do? Pray on your knees and kneel on your chair for 1 hour, and pray, finish, time's up. Right? Hand out your paper. Yeah, God, I pray. You say, blessing the Lord. You want your answer for you? No, you pray like Nehemiah. That just show your prayer to the Lord. Just for 1 second, Lord, help me. Give me the wisdom. Then you start doing your paper. But you pray because there is a critical, what, 1-2 hours when you have to do your exam paper. And that is the moment before you throw your granite, Chin Chin. Right? Before the granite drop on your leg and you die. Right? What do you do? Right? That's what I did when I throw my granite. Lord, help me. Then boom, I throw the granite. And make sure you land far, far away. Right? And you hide yourself. And boom. There are many, many moments in my army before I go for my test and the running, the IPPT, before I take my exam. That's what I do. Just make a short, heartfelt prayer to the Lord. Lord, help me. And sometimes you have to go for an interview. What do you do? Right, you're waiting and then your turn comes. Lord, I'm going to help me to speak. That's all. You pray to the Lord. You make a short prayer. But it's from your heart. And Nehemiah did that. This is what it means when the Bible says, pray without ceasing. Remember Reverend Quek in the camp said, there are three things that a Christian do without stopping? Remember or not? Were you in the camp? You also forgot whether you're in the camp, right? You're in the camp, right? Three things that a Christian, you and I as a Christian, we do without stopping. Ah, cannot be in the camp, huh? Cannot be attending camp. Attending camp is only for 1 week. You have to stop and go home. Three things. Go turn your Bible. First Thessalonians. Revision now, but what you learn in the camp. First Thessalonians chapter 5, the three things that we as Christians must continue to do every moment, every time, be very conscious of it. First Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 16, the first thing that we must always do. What is that? Rejoice. Rejoice what? Sometimes. Rejoice what? Most of the time. The Bible says rejoice. Evermore. Continuously rejoice. So that's our Christian life. Always a life of rejoicing. Number 2, verse 17. What must we do always? Pray without ceasing. Without stopping. The word ceasing means what? Stopping. Pray without stopping. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Number 1, rejoice evermore. Number 2, pray without stopping, without ceasing. That's what Nehemiah did. Any moment you're so conscious of God, any time it's so critical moment, what you think of? Prayer. Prayer. Number 3, verse 18. What's the third thing you must always do? In what? In everything. What? Give thanks. Give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So these are the three things that we must always do. Rejoice. Pray. Give thanks. And here in Nehemiah chapter 2, we learn about Nehemiah, what it means to pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Even at the most critical time, you pray to the God of heaven. A short, simple prayer. There are times we need to spend time on our knees, spend time in our closet to pray, long prayer. But there are times will be what? Short prayer, instant prayer. You need it, you remember the Lord, you cry upon the Lord, Lord help me, boom, IPPT, go. Still pray. I already start already. Go, run, right? And you pray without ceasing. You listen to the message, what do? You must be praying. Lord help me, teach me. As you listen, you pray. Pray without ceasing. You're feeling sleepy, what do? Sleep. No, pray without ceasing. Pray to the Lord. Don't sleep. Pray, Lord, give me the attention. Help me to learn. So, pray to the Lord, and Nehemiah prayed to the Lord. And then he made 3 requests to the king in verse 5 and verse 6. What are the 3 requests? Number 1, look at verse 5. Read together with me, huh? Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 5. That is the first request. Ready, go. And I say unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchre, that I may build it. Right, the first request is very simple. Ask permission to what? Let me go. Send me. I want to go back to my home land in Jerusalem. It is in trouble. Let me go. Please let me go. Right, this is the first request. It's not easy. Right? It's not easy. The king has what? Remember, the king has what? He's a law. Huh? He doesn't like it. They said, you are in trouble. I can throw you to prison anytime. And so he asked, let me go. Let me go. It was a very bold request. But he has been praying for how long? Praying for how long? 4 months already. He has been praying and praying for 4 months. That the king will show me mercy. The king will be gracious. The king will be kind and let me go. So now he made the request to the king. Last time when I wanted to be baptized, it was very difficult. Because my parents, they are against me. So Lord gave me the burden to be baptized, to obey the Lord. But they'll pray and pray. Ask permission one day, right? I didn't have the courage to ask. But Nehemiah has the courage. He asked permission. And he really asked. So for me, I went ahead and baptized when I was in JC1. 17 years old. After I was baptized, then I told my parents, I'm already baptized. Thank the Lord, they accepted it. But courage is not easy. To be bold, to be courageous, we need the Lord's help. And this is Nehemiah, very bold, very courageous, knowing that he may be put into prison, he may even die. But he has been praying, the Lord gave him the courage, the boldness, and he asked. And he asked the king, let me go. Let me go. And do you know that when the king asked him, you look at verse 6 carefully, you look carefully, the king asked him, okay, you ask this request, how long? How long are you going this journey? When will you return? You see, the king won't just say, just go. The king asked him, you want to go? But how long are you going to go away? And when will you come back? Nehemiah, I'm sure, gave him an answer. He must be praying. And at the same time, when he was praying, he must be planning and thinking about this. And so, a man of prayer, as you seek the Lord gives you wisdom, and the Lord also gives you an answer. Although it's not written here, but the answer, it pleased the king to send me away, and I set him a time. If you go and look at chapter 5 in verse 14, actually, he asked, and the time he was away was a total of 12 years. Listen, next time I ask you, how many years he was away? 12 years he was away. 12 years. And so the request was even quite bold. Just to say, Joshua, if you say, king, let me go for 1 month, maybe the king said, okay, 1 month, come back again. Asking the king, I'm going away for what? 12 years. I'm going to build the walls of my own country. And that requires a lot of faith, a lot of courage to ask the king. But he has been praying. When you pray, the Lord will give you the faith, the courage. And he asked, and the time set was what? Actually 12 years. If you go to chapter 5, you realize that it was 12 years, then he returned back to the Persian king. That was the first request. Second request, verse 7. Let's read that, verse 7. The second request. Ready, go. Moreover, I say unto the king, if it please the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come unto Judah. Now he asks the king, give me a safe journey, a safe passageway, all the way from Persia to back to Judah, Jerusalem. Now the journey itself from Persia to Jerusalem is a long journey. It's about a 2 month journey, right? It's not taking aeroplane. It's about a 2 month journey. You walk, you take the donkey, and that the kind of journey is a long journey of 2 months. And along the journey, there can be danger, there can be other people who stop you because you're passing through other regions, other cities. And so he asked, second request, give me a letter to show that I have the permission. And nobody will stop me in this long journey to Judah, to Jerusalem. Listen here. You want to be a man of prayer, you must also be a man of what? Preparation, thinking, planning. And I do not think that Nehemiah just pray. As he prayed, he planned. He thought about the journey. He thought about what he needed. The protection from the king, the letters from the king. And he asked for it. He asked for all these requests.
You see, sometimes a lot of us say, pray, pray, pray for me, pray for me, pray. And then we do nothing about it. We do nothing about it. This is not the way. Learn from Nehemiah. You say, pray for me, you do something about it. Pray for me, my exam is coming. Then what do? Play computer game. Right, some of you, this holiday. Pray for me, spend my holiday wisely. And then what happened? Holiday over already? Is it wise? You ask people to pray for you, and then you did nothing about it. You did nothing. You spend all time and waste all your time away watching television, going to the YouTube, playing computer game. When you say pray, let's be serious. Let's learn from Nehemiah. He's not just a man of prayer. He prayed, and he must be making all his preparation, his planning for the return, and he knew exactly what he needed. And he asked for it. He asked for the letter of protection from the king. Now, look at the third request. Look at verse 8. It's also very important. What is needed in his journey back to Jerusalem? Verse 8. Together? Ready? Go. And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace, which shall pertain to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. Stop here. Now what did he ask? The third request? Ask the king what? Number one, let me go home. Alright, let me go back. Number two, give me what? Letter of protection. Alright, safe passageway. Number three, ask for what? Ask for what? Material. Ask for what? Material. You want to build the walls. Then what do you get? You don't say, Lord, drop down all your material. You start praying, and God give you the wisdom, you start planning. And you say, I need what? I need material. I need the wood. From the wood, then I can build the wall. Right? I need all this. And the king has all this. So, he asked the king the third request. Ask whoever, Asap, who is the keeper of the forest, in charge of the forest, with all the timber, all the wood, send it to me, give it to me, then I can build the wall. Just think about it. He was praying for 4 months, he must be planning for 4 months. Praying, planning, committing to the Lord. He knew what he needed. He knew that God must provide, and God must touch the king's heart. And he needed to ask all this from the king. You see, can you see the whole picture? And can you see a man who really trusted, depended on the Lord, who was courageous, who was bold, who was making the preparation, the planning, and God blessed him. And so in verse 8, the Lord gave him all the 3 requests that he made. Look at verse 8. The king granted me. The king said, yes, yes, yes. Wow, good. Huh? 3 requests, all yes. And what did he might say? Yay! See? I'm so good, I'm so clever, I made the right request. No, be carefully. The king granted me what? According to the good hand of my God upon me. Can you see it? What Nehemiah was writing? Yes, I got my prayer answered. It is because of what? The good hand of the Lord. It is God who answered my prayer. It is God who blessed me, God who helped me, and God who has granted me according to His good hand. Never, never forget God in your life. You did well in your exam? Never, never forget it is God who has helped you. You are in good health? Never forget it is God who has blessed you. Recently, right in Oakland, the whole family was walking on the pavement. Is it safe? They're not walking on the road, they're walking on the pavement. And the car just went to the grandmother. The rest were injured, right into the pavement. But nothing can be certain in our life. Whatever we have today, remember it is God's goodness. Be thankful to the Lord. Give glory to the Lord. And so Nehemiah, he gave glory to the Lord. Always give glory to the Lord for all the answered prayers. And never forget what the Lord has done in your life. Never, never forget where the Lord has put you. You pray hard. Remember your PSLE? You forgot already. Remember your PSLE? Remember you pray very hard. And the Lord bless you. Now where are you? You finished already. You're in secondary one. Never forget how God has helped you. The Lord carried you through. The Lord put you in this school. Never forget the Lord helped you through the army days. It was most most difficult in my army days. Thought never end. Ah, but it ended. Ah, it ended. But it's all glory to the Lord. Some of you think, ah, your secondary school never end. It's very tough, but it's going to end soon. Huh, Joshua? Give glory to the Lord. Ah, the Lord carry you through. So, remember what the Lord has done in our life. Now, let's move on. From chapter 2, verse 9 to verse 16, we talk about Nehemiah's arrival. Finally, the long journey, he arrived into Jerusalem. Look at verse 9. Let's read together. Verse 9. Ready, go. Then I came to the governors beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. Now the king has sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. And so, right, the Lord protected, and the Lord also blessed Nehemiah, and the king even sent other army, other soldiers and horsemen to protect him in his journey. And then in verse 11, he finally came and arrived in Jerusalem and was there for 3 days. But even before he arrived, look at verse 10. I want you to look at verse 10. That nothing is smooth. It is not an easy road. Right? You always like to sing, it's not an easy road. So for Nehemiah, was there an easy road? The journey there already, you look at verse 10. The enemies are already to attack him and stop him. Verse 10 together. When Sanballat and Horonai, the Tobiah, the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it, he grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. Now, later on, you're going to read very much about these two enemies, and the name, don't ever call your children this name. Alright, Sanballat and what? Tobiah, right? So, don't ever call your children, because they are the enemies. One of them, right, the Bible says, is actually, Sanballat is a Samaritan, a half-Jew. Tobiah is actually Ammonite, a descendant of the Lord. Also, they're all anti-Israel, anti-Jew. You want to come back to help Israel, they'll be against you. And so the enemy already started work. Every time you want to do a work for God, the enemy already started work before you. You understand? Nehemiah was already on the journey to Jerusalem. Haven't even started work yet. The enemy already woke up and wanted to stop him already. So how can Nehemiah come? Better stop him. Don't let him come. Prevent him. And this is how what happened to each one of us. Every time you're serious for God, what happened? Satan will discourage you. He will want to stop you. Yesha, exam is coming. Ebenezer can wait. O level cannot wait. I say Satan will whisper all this. There'll be a friend to come to you. Right, Benny? Let's go out on Saturday afternoon. You see, every time when we want to be serious for God, you realize that the Lord, that there will be the enemies. But every time you are sleeping, you're not interested, Satan will let you sleep. Okay, it's alright, let you sleep, rock you to bed. Let's continue. And I realize that every time in my Christian life, when you want to be serious, you want to do God's work, the enemy will come, discouragement will come, people will stop you, people will laugh at you, and then there will be others who will make fun of us. And Nehemiah was facing that. And so when Nehemiah arrived finally in Jerusalem in verse 11, and the Bible says he was there for 3 days. And I would say that it's not that the journey is 3 days. The journey itself is about 2 months journey from Persia all the way from the palace to Jerusalem. The 3 days is that when he arrived, he settled down, he rested for 3 days. Why 3 days? I think Nehemiah, of course, needed a rest. It's a long journey. But for Nehemiah, the 3 days may be a time to what? Pray. A time to ponder. A time to wait upon the Lord. And that 3 days that he had, that he took the time to rest, to pray, to seek the Lord. And then what happened? Let's read together. In verse 12, what happened? After the 3 days, what happened? In verse 12. Are you there? Okay, ready? 1, 2, go. And I arose in the night, I and some men with me, neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem, neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon. The word save means accept, it's old English, accept the beast that I rode upon. That means he went out in the night, He looked and inspected the place, right? He was in Jerusalem. Everyone has been telling him Jerusalem is in ruin. All the walls are broken down. All the gates have been burned at. But now he went up. He went up for himself to see. He didn't take other animals. He only had one donkey for himself to ride on and check for himself. Now learn some lesson here. Every time when someone whispers to you something, hey, your brother James, do all these bad things, you know, what do you do? Don't just believe people's word. He's a gay, don't just believe, then go around and tell other people, James, a gay, a lot of us are just like that. Learn from Nehemiah. He went down to the city, and then he went out in the night, and he looked for himself and checked for himself. Is it true or not? Is it true or not? Verify the fact for yourself. Go and check it and see for yourself. Is this a true statement? And that's what you must learn from Nehemiah. It's very important that we learn to always verify. And so Nehemiah went out in the night. Do you know why in the night? Why in the night? Yes. Why in the night? Yes, sir. Yes, possible. I think a possible reason is that he doesn't want the enemy to be suspicious. Like those of you in the army, when you do recce, you go and check something. You do what? You do in the night, right? You do in the night. You know what's recce? Before you attack the enemy, and then you're supposed to send someone to go and check and see how is the area, you always do what? You always sneak in, and you do it in the night, and you ambush people in the night, because you do not want the enemies to be aware of your circumstances, what you're doing. And so, remember, the enemies are attacking and against Nehemiah, and so he did in the night, just to prevent all the enemies from being suspicious, knowing what he was doing. And so he went out, verified for himself, saw it, and then he see for himself, and he was truly, truly a very sad, sad condition. So sad that what did he see? The Bible says that in verse 13, that he viewed the walls of Jerusalem, right? And they were all broken down. The gates were all consumed with fire. It is like a war city. I don't think we have seen that in Singapore. Sometimes you go to third world country, certain places are just so broken down, and then the whole place is burning, burning with fire, the walls broken down, the whole city is in mess, and it's just not livable there, and the enemies can attack anytime, and everybody is demoralized, sad, and Nehemiah walked and saw this, and he realized that this is really, really a very sad condition his own city is in. What did Nehemiah do? Let's pack up and go home, man. This is terrible. They do that. How can I reveal the world? Everybody is like so sad. You see their faces, they're all gloomy. Everybody is discouraged. Nobody knows what to do. And the whole place is burning down. And not only that, the enemies are all ready to attack us. Did he pack up and go home? Did he say, let's give up? No, if you read on, you find that he rallied the people to serve the Lord. Never, never give up. Never, never give up. That's what I want you to know. Never, never give up. You come to Ebenezer meeting, never, never what? Give up. There will be 100 reasons for you to give up. Just go to your homework. Finish it, happen. Right? You can say, I have a homework to do. Ask your classmates. They ask you to go out on Saturday afternoon? Yes, my classmates want to go out. Class outing, class activity, plenty of that. There will be, if you can start counting, maybe 100 excuses for you to give. Ask, look at your own health. I'm so tired. I'm give up. Give up, very easy. I'm so tired. What? Headache. What other? Stomach ache. What else? Finger ache. Leg ache. Whatever ache, you can think of. Heart ache also have. Heart ache. Some people broke my heart. So every time you can think of all the excuses. But let me say to you that you can find 100 excuses to give up. I will give you 1,000 reasons why you should not give up. I can give you 1,000 reasons from the Bible why you should continue and fight on and stay on. And so this is what Nehemiah is telling us, never give up. The condition is so sad, but never give up. This year in March, we went for the first time to Myanmar mission. You know the Myanmar, this country, the first missionary that went over from America to Myanmar was called this man, Adoniram Judson. And he did not give up. He really did not give up. Because after the first year, he preached the gospel, nobody believed. And his friends said, go home, no, go back to America, you're wasting your time in Myanmar, you're wasting all your effort. Second year, no soul was saved. Third year, no soul was saved. The friends said, go home, go home. But Adoniram Judson continued, never give up, persevere, preach the gospel. Until the seventh year, the first person came to know the Lord. And today, if you go to Myanmar, the Myanmar's Bible is called the Judson Bible. He translated the Bible into the Myanmar language for the people. Today, a lot of the church is called the Judson Church, Adoniram Judson, in remembrance of this man who did not give up. Continue, and this 7 years, one soul saved, then two souls, then three souls, then many were saved. The church was established, the Bible was translated for the people. When you give up, nothing will be accomplished. Nothing will be done, you know that? But when you continue, you never know how God will use you one. Tabernacle BP Church, 7 years later, tomorrow is our anniversary. We are 25 years. When we first started in the year 1987, I was still a student in the university, in NTU, studying engineering. Nobody really likes studying engineering now. Those days, people like engineering. I was staying in the hostel. We started the first family that came to know the Lord, Uncle Alvin's family. They were the first to come to know the Lord, and we started the family worship there. And I know what it means from Choa Chu Kang to come to Tampines. Because I stay in the Jurong in NTU, and every Wednesday night, right, I finish, take a quick dinner at the canteen, because I stay in the hostel there, and then there was no MRT, if you don't have a church van then, also no money to buy a church van. I take all the bus, that time Jurong in NTU was the most ulu place, as far back, those days don't know these people in Jurong. All the way, 1.5 hours journey, right? 1.5 hours around there. All the way to Tampines, now get Alvin's house, conduct the family worship with them, encourage them until Lily then was not saved yet. Preach the gospel to her, preach, and one day she know the Lord. And Alvin was backslided, and he came to know the Lord. Why? Because we went tracking. Evangelism, we didn't give out the first time, and he was at home. Why? Because in God's providence, he has chicken pox, and he was at home that day. Why? Because he could not go to work. And we knocked the door, he see our track. The Lord touched his heart, he came. And then we had family worship. And every Wednesday night, I would travel all the way from Jurong in Tampines, start the family worship, and it end about 11 o'clock, and rush all the way back to the hostel about 11. Leaving about 11 plus, reaching back about past midnight, 12:30 or so, the last bus. Did we give up? No, we don't give up. We continue. We stay on, we fight on for the Lord. We persevere on. And of course, along the way, God bless. And then we have the van. After a way, Pastor Ronnie drive me home with the van. Now we have a van, easier. And one day, in the bus journey, I wanted to give up. This is very tiring. Very tiring, right? The journey is very tiring. In those days, the bus was still no aircon. Very, very tiring. A lot of homework to do. Haven't finished my work, my project work. Sometimes you think of it, next day, with a hand up. Go back, draw something, still have to continue to do my project. And one day, I say to the Lord in the bus, I give up. I don't want to go anymore. Because only Ronnie and myself, two of us, keep going. And then, in the bus, I cried. I really cried. Why you don't laugh? That's how you cry, I cried to the Lord, and said, Lord, I want to give up. But the Lord, in the journey, bus journey, encouraged me, don't give up. give up. So I pray, and the Lord said, continue, don't give up. So he continues. Of course, today the Lord has helped, and today we are 25 years of tabernacle history. But don't give up. Nehemiah did not give up. It was very sad, very difficult. But don't give up. Alright, let's go to the last part. Chapter 2, the last part. And what happened? After he inspected the place, he saw the place. And then now we go from verse 17 to verse 20. Nehemiah rallied the people together. Can we read together, right? Read together in verse... Alright, let's read in verse 17 first. Verse 17 together. Ready, go. Then say I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. And so Nehemiah, he inspected, he saw, he verified, and the place was in ruin, it's true, and the people are all discouraged. And now it's time, what? It's time to do something. It's time to build the walls. It's time to do it. But Nehemiah knew that he cannot do it by himself. Now serving the Lord is not a one-man show. It's not Nehemiah saying, alright, I'm going to do it. So he took a spade and started digging. It's not. You've got to get the people together to build with him. It's a teamwork, and it's going to be a tremendous work, and everybody must play their part, then the work can be done. And so this is important that he recognized that, and he said we must work together, and he ready the people. Every time in the church, it is teamwork. We've got to work together, and we have to work united as one. Nehemiah knew that lesson, and he rallied the people. And so the way to do it, look at the two steps. It's very important. Look at the two steps that Nehemiah did. He called all the people together, right, in verse 17. And then he told them about the condition, the problem of the church, the problem of the world, the problem of the city. Now this is a good leader. A good leader never hide away the problem. You recognize the problem and you tell people this is the problem we are facing. You understand? That's a good leader. You don't pretend everything is well. This is a big problem we are facing. You tell the people, look, the whole city is in ruin. We are in reproach. People are laughing at us, making fun of us. Now, this is a big problem we are all facing. And he told them the problem. But if you just stop at step one, you are in trouble. Because if you tell them all this problem, people will get what? Discouraged. People will feel demoralized. And people will what? Will feel sad and miserable and do nothing. And so you look at Nehemiah. After he told them all the problem, look carefully. And what did he say? What did he say in verse 18? Look at verse 18. Read together. This is step two. What, you want to be a good leader? Recognize the problem. Tell them the problem. Don't hide the problem. Tell them exactly what you're going through. If Ebenezer is down spiritually, or how, don't tell the people, yeah, hallelujah, we're doing well. Don't say that. We are down, right? We are sad. Yes. Then, in verse 18, say what? Together? Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he has spoken unto me. Stop here. Right? You then tell them the second thing. God will do it. God is going to help us. God will what? Will bless us. You tell them and you encourage them to look to the Lord. Look to the Lord. The Lord has helped me. The Lord has brought me all the way from Persia to Jerusalem, the good hand of God. And God is going to help us to build the wall. God is going to restore us. This is a good leader. A good leader will always what? Challenge the people, fast to look to the Lord. And that's what Nehemiah did. You recognize the problem, you see God's hand, and you look to the Lord. Now look at the response of the people. It's a wonderful response. And I hope that when we are all challenged together, we all will respond the same way. What was the response? Read verse 18, the last part. All the people heard it from Nehemiah, and then what did they say? What did they say? Let us rise up and build. And they say what? Let us rise up and build. And so they strengthen their hands for the good work. What a wonderful response. You know that world there are three kinds of people. There are those who don't know what's happening. Really don't know. Girl, girl, I don't know what's happening. The second people are what? Those who watch what is happening. I always watch. The third kind is those who make things happen. And I hope that we will be the third kind. We will all say, let us rise up and build. Nehemiah didn't say, let me rise up and build. No use, one person cannot do your job. But we all have to be together and let us rise up and build. We want to be a spiritually strong group that love the Lord, follow the Lord, provoke each other to love and do work. Every one of us must say the same thing. Let us rise up and build. Let us be together. Let us rise up and build. Accountability is very important. You are accountable to me why you are here or why you are not here. I am accountable to you also why I'm here, why I'm not here. But do not say that I'm Uncle John, the advisor of the group. I don't care. I feel like coming, I come. I don't feel like coming, I don't come. But you know, if I cannot come, I will tell Boha why I cannot come. I'm accountable. I want to make sure that you know why. You're going to do something together, I try my best. Always to be what? Together, rise up and build together. You don't always want to do things your way, do things my way. Right? The world will say what? I do it my way. Right? The Christian will never do it our own way. We always say what? Rise up and build together. Let us rise up and build together. But again, I want to stop here. As you want to do God's work, you all say, you want to do God's work, what happened? Verse 19, the enemy will come. Every time you want to do God's work, the enemy will come. See? And so, look at verse 19. Again, Sambala and Tobiah, the enemy. Right? And you find that there's one more enemy. After two enemies, now the third enemy came in. Right? Goshen, the Arabian. Right? Now you have three enemies. From one, two, three enemies. And now, what did they say? They laugh us to scorn. They despise us. Can you see? The enemies laugh at us. Ah, you! What the bill? Are you sure you can do it? You're so small. You only what? Set one. You're so busy. Your army, you haven't got time to do. You see, the enemies will laugh us and scorn, will laugh at us and make fun of us. We cannot do it. We cannot do it. And then they despise us. We're too small. Ebenezer, only how many? 1, 2, 3, 4, only 10, 11, only what? How to do? They despise us. What is this thing? And then they make accusation that you will rebel against the king. They try to break up the group. They try to frighten you. They say you are rebelling against the king. You see, this is the tactic of what? Discouragement. You know what the thing that we will always stop because of what? Discouragement. Now this is Satan's weapon, discouragement. You feel discouraged, you will give up. When people laugh at you, you give up. When people despise you, you give up. When people threaten you, you give up. Because you feel discouraged. And so, we must have one response like Nehemiah. So can you read with me verse 20 as we end today's lesson? Huh? The last verse. You get all the people who laugh at you, despise you, threaten you. What do you do? Nehemiah, what do you do? Verse 20 together. Then answered I them and say unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we his servants will arise and build. But he had no portion nor right nor memorial in Jerusalem. Dearly beloved, this is what you and I must do. When you feel discouraged, when people laugh at us, when we are despised, we are small, we are threatened, just remember this. We have a great God. With God, you are the majority. We have a great God who will bless us, who will prosper us. Therefore, we will not give up. We will not give up. We will continue, we will rise, and we will build. And that was Nehemiah's response. And this is how you and I must respond. This is how, if you are a leader, you must respond this way. Because if you are a leader, you get discouraged and you say, I give up, everybody will give up. You challenge the people. We continue, we rise, we build. Why? Why? Because I, Nehemiah, is great, no? We have what? The God of heaven. He will prosper us. He will bless us. That's how we look to the Lord. Look at today's lesson, Nehemiah. The last time we learned Nehemiah, a man of concern, a man of prayer, chapter 1. Today, Nehemiah, chapter 2, a man who waits upon God, who waits upon God, and then a man of what? Of action. Never give up. Go, go. After you pray, you plan, you go. You go, you serve the Lord, you build, you challenge the people. And so the memory verse, yeah, I'm going to ask you, if you have time, next week, the next time, not next week, the next time I come back again, God willing, right, we will look at Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 20. That's our memory verse, right? In verse 20, verse 8. Let's read together, then we end in prayer. Alright, it's all on your sheet of paper here. Ready, go. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 28. Then I answered by them, I say unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build. Yeah, make a printing error. I make a printing error, right? Then what? Then answer I there. My, sorry, I type one extra I there. Sorry, can you remove, cancel away the first I? Yeah? Then answer I there. Huh? Every time people discourage you, despise you, make fun of you, threaten you, answer them the same thing. What do you answer them? Don't beat them up. You answer them, the God of heaven, the God of heaven. My God, he will prosper. I will not quit. I will not quit. I will not stop. I will not give up. I will continue to rise up and build. So may the Lord help us. Let's pray again. Father in heaven, we thank you that we can learn once again from this wonderful book that you have given to us in Nehemiah. Thank you for this man that you have raised up in history for our learning, for our example. And we pray, Lord, that we will too, by your grace and mercy, have the strength, the grace to learn how to wait upon you, to learn how, O Lord, to be a man of prayer, a man of action, a man, O Lord, who will not give up, Lord. And we pray that, Lord, thou will help us as we rise up, as we build, as we serve thee, that thou will be with us, and thou will bless, and thou will truly prosper for thy name's sake, for thy glory. And remember Ebenezer here, remember each one of us, remember that group, and bless us, and glorify yourself, and prosper us for thy glory, and help us to love you, to follow you, and not to give up, and to continue to rise and build. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.